And welcome to Access Bank PLC's quarterly investor conference call. We'll be presenting today our December 2009 year-end and first quarter year 2010 results. As our conference call invitation indicated, to enable participants to follow this presentation, we have posted on our website the slides that we are going to go through. If you haven't, you can just go quickly to www.accessbankplc.com and you'll see our presentation posted there. On this call, I have here with me Herbert Wigwe, the bank's Group Deputy Managing Director, Oke Nwoke, Executive Director, Institutional Banking, Tek Kuroye, Executive Director, Ops, Obiahan Ohiwere, Executive Director, Commercial Banking, Victor Etuoku, General Manager, Retail, Seyi Kumapayi, the bank's CFO, Emmanuel Agbolo, Chief Economist, Gianni Aliu, who's in charge of domestic credit risk, Lai Oresanya, who is in charge of international credit risk. My name is Aikoje Aik Imokwede, the bank's CEO. And as I said to you, we will be using a PowerPoint presentation to take you through these results, which has been posted on our website. Slide two of the presentation basically sets the context and the outline for what we're going to be discussing over the next 30 minutes or so. Thereafter, we will go into questions and answers, and we'll leave about an hour for that. Before I go into the presentation proper, let me share our vision with you, which is to transform our bank into a world-class financial services provider through a mission where we go beyond the ordinary to deliver the perceived impossible in the quest for excellence. Values underpinning all that we do are trust, teamwork, passion for customers, continuous learning ethics, all encapsulated in the word excellence. Now, on slide three, you have our fact sheet. Essentially, we are licensed at the parent company level as a bank in Nigeria, and we have a coverage of Africa and Europe through a number of banking subsidiaries. Our headline focus is on the corporate customer, but we have an interesting value chain strategy by which we bank the entire chain. On slide three, you have our country coverage, you have our credit ratings, and you have a few other facts around our channels, 131 branches, etc. Slide four, we just thought that in a business that is highly people-dependent, we would share with you a few facts that we take a lot of pride in. Our people are our strongest assets, both at the board level, all the way down to the man who opens the door when you come into any of our branches. Our board consists of 8 non-executive directors who have had accomplished careers in several fields, banking, oil and gas, engineering, insurance, and so on, with a cumulative experience of 231 years between them. You will also find a very strong group of executive directors who have an average years of experience of 21, so you have some gray hairs in this room. From our assistant general manager right through to our managers and senior managers, you'll see a very strong track record of experience, as well as a very deep team. We like to see ourselves as a team that can call on its second 11 and its third 11 and its fourth 11 if required. Also very critical is the background, professional pedigree of most of our staff, if not all of them. And you will see that running through, right from our non-executive directors to senior management, you know, you see, you know, first-class institutions resounding all the time. On slide five, you have our value chain model. And this is something that we have taken a number of listeners through over time. And if I was to spend sufficient time to go into the nitty-gritty of our value chain model, you know, it would dominate this conference call. But suffice it to say that we start from the middle, which is a large corporate, and we basically add value to the large corporate by lowering the cost of business to members of its chain or increasing their revenues. This is a very useful tool for us, and it confers on the bank a number of benefits. The first thing is that it's a cost-efficient means by which we bank an entire value chain, and we penetrate markets in the most cost-efficient manner. We have significant economies of scale in terms of skill and competencies, and we leverage this across all the geographies that we operate. And it gives us a self-reinforcing strengthening of our corporate relationships and making it very difficult for them to switch from us to other providers. I had already explained to you that we have a coverage of a number of countries, and also we have a number of non-bank businesses in the area of asset management and mortgage banking, as well as custody and registrars. Our One Bank strategic framework essentially internationalizes our business through a collaborative delivery system across geographies. It gives us the benefit of group shared services to increase our operational efficiency, and basically it ensures that you have end-to-end, point-to-point, seamless transaction support for all Access Bank's global corporate clients across the network. We have a total target market of, across Africa, about 300 global corporate clients. And in Nigeria, while penetration has been, over 7 years, quite successful, one can imagine that in our international subsidiaries, which are at their startup phase, we are at the early days. But as we, of course, begin to penetrate, you see the revenues begin to increase, and the cost begins to come down as we get the scale benefits. And we'll talk more about this, you know, in the course of the presentation. Now, the presentation will be taken by a number of my colleagues here. The operating environment will be handled by Emmanuel Abolo. The financials by Sheyi Kumasai. In the context of financials also, we'll be looking at certain asset quality issues, which will be handled by the credit risk guy, Tijani Anko. And then we'll go on to ongoing strategic initiatives and Q&A. So we're now on slide 8, and I would like to ask Emmanuel Abolo to speak to the presentation going forward.
All right, thank you very much. We're on slide 8, which talks about the operating environment. And clearly from this slide, it shows that Access Bank operates in the 4 monetary zones across sub-Saharan Africa. We also have a presence in the UK. Our most critical environment remains Nigeria. Now, if you take a look at the right-hand side of this diagram, you clearly see that there are some regional observations that we need to take into account. Very important is that GDP growth in Africa during the global financial crisis clearly outperformed the rest of the world except Asia. And the GDP forecast for Africa in the next 4 years is put at 7.7%. UK, which is our trade hub, is still suffering from slow historical GDP growth rate, even though it's beginning to trend upwards. That takes us to slide 9, which is a snapshot of the Nigerian economy. And clearly, there are 4 parameters here: the foreign reserves, oil price, inflation, and GDP. These are the 4 main drivers of the Nigerian economy. In terms of foreign reserves, that's likely to hit $43.2 billion at year end, by way of forecast. Oil price would hit $90 per barrel, driven essentially by very strong demand from China and India. Inflation rate, which currently stands at about 11.8%, is likely to move up to 12.55%, due essentially to deregulation and the introduction of electricity tariffs. GDP is forecast at 8.5%, driven essentially by improved oil price and infrastructure, as well as SME growth. Now, slide 10 is a schematic of which establishes the relationship between the banking industry and the commercial sector of the economy.
Emmanuel, if I may interject, because this gives me a good opportunity to speak to the bank's value chain model a bit more. And we borrowed this this slide, actually, from a presentation done by the central bank governor, to basically explain the relationship between the formal sector and the banking industry. As Emmanuel had shown, the issues of oil price and foreign reserves accumulated from oil price dominate, you know, the money supply relationship in Nigeria. And you will find that the oil industry generates oil revenue, which flows to the Nigerian government, which is meant to be spent on infrastructure development. And of course, if you look at the Nigerian budget, 50% of this at least also is spent on wages to the public sector. Now, the oil industry also, you know, interacts directly with the Nigerian banking sector. But I think the most important thing is the fiscal activity of government through what we call the federal allocation process, whereby huge funds seep into the banking sector following a sharing of this government revenue on a monthly basis. Now, these funds are unlent into the real economy. Similarly, also, of course, you also have foreign direct investment, which is coming into the real economy, manufacturing, agriculture, telecoms, and so on. And, of course, the real economy interacts with commercial establishments, particularly what you call the distributors and the retail participants. I think that given the role of the stock market and the activities within the stock market over the past 3 years, it was also important for the central bank to bring in the relationship between the equities market and this formal sector and the banking industry. Of course, you begin to see, obviously, in a system like this, that if funds are not flowing into the real economy, they will tend to flow into the equity market, where the concern of asset bubbles have come and where we've seen what happened. But, I mean, that's not what the emphasis is on this presentation is today. What we'd like to you to note is that in terms of the oil industry, 30% of our loans go to that sector. The Nigerian government, 3% of our loans go to that sector, while 10% of our deposits are generated from that sector. The whole equity play has only 3% of our loans today. Whilst with respect to the real economy, that's where Access Bank plays in the manufacturing, such as cement and so on, telecoms, etc. That's where 50% of our loans go. And on the deposit side, the commercial establishments and what I would call retail players account for 50% of our deposits. And for now, the retail side accounts for 5% of our loans. Emmanuel, back to you.
Thank you very much, Ike. That takes us to slide 11. Which is a snapshot also of the Nigerian economy. The slide essentially summarizes what the Global Competitiveness Index shows about Nigeria, this publication by the World Economic Forum. It ranks Nigeria as 13th in Africa and 99th in the world. But in terms of weaknesses, you'll find that the major weaknesses include limited access to financing, inadequate infrastructure, corruption, and political instability, as well as weak institutional capacity. But the main strengths remain very strong macroeconomic fundamentals and, of course, low national debt. Now, the next two slides, which will conclude my aspect of the presentation, shows the trends and developments in the Nigerian banking sector. Slide 12, two main areas that we have looked at are regulatory direction for regulation as well as competitive factors. In terms of regulation, the objective of regulation remains that of maintaining financial stability. More important is the issue of improved risk management and good corporate governance for banks. Then, of course, the establishment of the Asset Management Company of Nigeria. This is meant to take out the toxic assets from banks' balance sheets so as to free them for more lending. And then, of course, the review of universal banking so that we move in the direction of specialized banking in Nigeria. The competitive factors will be that it's clearly changing. Three parameters will be very, very important in the area of competition going forward. These are cost of risk, cost of funds, as well as cost to income of banks. Then, of course, what will be the value proposition and creation for banks will be, what will be of value to customers going forward will be the value proposition and creation of banks. That is what will make them relevant in the face of customers. Then, of course, there are consolidation pressures. The final slide for me, which is slide 13, simply summarizes how banks now fare in terms of how they fare. You now have the large-sized banks, mid-sized banks, and then niche banks, and of course, banks that were affected as a result of the audit carried out by the Central Bank of Nigeria. Clearly, for large size banks, these are banks that have 1 trillion naira in terms of assets and contingents. Then mid-size is 500 to 800 billion, and then for niche banks, those that have assets and contingents less than 500 billion. You will see from this diagram that Access Bank is in the mid-size, and clearly stands way ahead of competition in that particular category. What to note, though, are the main characteristics of the banking industry. There you find very strong managerial capabilities. Credit growth is founded on loose credit practices, capacity weaknesses in terms of very deep technical skills, and then, of course, wide gap between deposits and lending rates. What to take note, though, in this light, is that the competitive issues remain that of having very strong risk management and good corporate governance and very sound disclosure standards for banks. And then, of course, banks having a very good business model. Thank you.
Right. Good afternoon. My name is Sheikh Makwaya. I'll be taking us through the financials. I'll go straight to slide 15. What you find on slide 15 is a highlight of the 9-month performance group and bank compared with the 12-month ending March 2009. Because you have two different periods, I will therefore be analyzing some of the figures so that you have the basis for comparison. If you take a look at gross earnings, what you see there is a 26% drop. But I mean, on a 12-month basis, this is a flat position. Now, as you are aware, the 9-month period in which it's been reported was extremely challenging for the entire banking industry following the CBN special examination. Our focus essentially around that time was to drive recovery, grow our deposits, stay liquid, and contain costs. Clearly, economic activities were curtailed at this time, and therefore there was a complete slowdown in credit growth. And what you find is that this has a tremendous impact on operating revenues. This trend you see across most of our revenue lines. If you look at expenses, operating expenses, group operating expenses actually increased on an analysis by about 23%, essentially on the basis of new subsidiaries that were consolidated for the first time, about three of them, and also some other three that were there for only 3 months the last financial year. We believe that this subsidiaries have started bringing the revenues to you, which you see when I do the first quarter. And then in addition to the cost management initiative that we are driving across the group. Of note on this slide is also the provision for risk assets, and which this is the next external provision. If you recall when we did our second quarter presentation, the total provision there was about 30.9 billion. Through very serious recovery efforts, we've been able to recover about 14 billion. And that's why you see this figure as net provision of about 16.6. Also, you see diminution in value of other assets, essentially an underwriting loss, sort of underwriting transaction that the bank did in that period. In line with accounting standards, the share of associate profit or loss is also accounted for. And if you come down to the PBT, it came down to a loss of about 3.4 on the group basis, and after tax loss of about 4.1, even though the bank broke open at the PBT level. I'll go on to slide 16. What is highlighted on slide 16 is the contribution of earnings to or subsidiary to earnings. What you find is that the parent, which is the Access Bank, still accounts for about 87% of the group operating income, even though steady progress has been made from contributions from the other subsidiaries. In March, the contribution was about 5%, it's up to 13% December. So you see how this is beginning to improve, and this will believe will then flow into the bottom line. Also, expenses on the subsidiary, we have started driving a lot of initiatives across the group, and we believe that this will come to fruition by the end of 2010, which will see the improvement in performance there. I'll go to slide 17, essentially the business segment performance. Clearly, the business segment performance was impacted by the provision, and therefore what you find is the national banking division returning a loss of about 4.7, commercial banking 1.8, and investment banking, even though they suffered an underwriting loss, were able to, from the trading business, generate enough profit to turn about 2.6 billion. Retail banking, also given about 80% growth in gross earnings, were only able to achieve about 1.3 million, you know, also resulting from provisions. So this, all of this, all the SBU have been impacted by loan loss provisions. I'll go to slide 18. Now, slide 18 essentially just further breaks down the performance of the bank, of the group, on a year-on-year basis, looking at operating income and looking at commission fees. Essentially, net interest income still accounts for about 60% of the operating income, you know, of the group, up from about 61% in March. This is also, you also see this at the bank level, you know, where 70% of operating income in December was from this same source. Largely, what happened is that we had some significant drop in FX income and the contribution of net interest income in the group. I will go to slide 18. Sorry, slide 19. What you find on slide 19 is that the efficiency ratios. If you look at the efficiency ratios of the group, this is for the group and bank, you will find that both at the bank and the group level, cost to income ratio at the group level has gone up from 53 to 66%, and at the bank, you know, also increased from 48 to 55. I had mentioned earlier in my opening slide with respect to the impact of the new subsidiaries being consolidated. However, at the parent level, there was also a dip in operating income, and therefore, even though expenses were flat, cost to income still went up. Now, cost of risk, largely, I had also mentioned it, largely from net loan loss provisions that we took around about September, and then the underwriting losses that we sustained also in the period. I'll go to slide 20. What is on slide 20 is the summary of the balance sheet of the group and bank for the two periods, December and March. Largely, what you find is that the balance sheet was essentially flat. In the loan book declined by 8%, and the deposit grew by only 3%. As mentioned before, the banking industry went through a very trying period, so we just focused on recovery of provisions account, staying extremely liquid and managing costs. And therefore, we just held in the balance sheet. I'll go to slide 21. Slide 21 just colors the contribution, just gives a sense of how each of the subsidiaries is contributing to the group loans, deposits, and total assets. The parent continues to account for a single proportion of the group assets, deposits, and loans. However, you know, subsidiary contribution is increasing. In March, the bank accounted for about 95% of the group loans. Now is down to 93.8%. Also, in terms of deposits, in March, bank accounted for 94%, is down to 87.7%. You know, so what is happening is that as we implement our own bank strategy, as mentioned by Ike, and derive synergies from our group operations, the contribution of subsidiary, we believe, will continue to grow, and we're beginning to see the impact on the bottom line. On slide 22, what you see is the what has happened on the loan book. Just to give back to what I said before, the loan book essentially went down by 8%. If you also look at the distribution by industry and by product, it is an extremely well diversified book, and in the various industries that we play in line with our strategy. I go to slide 23. Now, on slide 23, what you see is the just a snapshot of how the bank is funded. and how what are the deposit type of the bank. As you can see, the bank funding continues to be diversified and stable. The bank has also benefited from flight to quality that happened in towards the end of December. You see, year on year, our deposit has grown. We also continue to make progress in our retail and digital market segment. You know, this accounts for 30% of our total deposit, up from about 30% in the second quarter. Also, exposure to the public sector, just like I mentioned, is very manageable, and it's just about 9% of our total deposit. I'll go to slide 24. What is shown on slide 24 is essentially what is the mix of our deposit. Critical to note is the loan to deposit ratio. Loan to deposit ratio, you know, between March and December has come down to about 87%, essentially on the back of loan book, reduction in loan book, and the growth in our deposit book. Also, capital adequacy continues to remain very, very strong, you know, at 32%, you know, which is well in excess of regulatory requirements. At this point, I would ask my colleague, Tijani, to take us through the asset quality portion of the presentation.
Good afternoon. My name is Tijani Aliu. The asset quality, as presented in slide 25, is a snapshot of the bank's asset portfolio quality as of December 31st, 2009. The obligatory description at the far left follows an 8-point rating scale, risk rating 1 to 8. 1 being best and 8 being loss. We are also under the loss category, the unrated. For now, we classify our non-performing loans in line with the traditional special guideline as prescribed by CPN and is found below, where 90 days is substandard, 180 is doubtful, and 360 is for loss category. And the relevant provisions are contained therein. In the same slide, you find that unrated obligors are a portion of our loan book in our subsidiaries where there were no financials. Why the financials have hindered our rating process? But we are also finalizing an internal rating process to deal with that this year. In slide 26, our total, it shows our NPA ratios, which as of December was 19%. Our coverage ratio in December was slightly below 40%. Indeed, as you are aware, the total NPL figure was 28 billion. That's in slide 27, which was an NPL ratio, as stated earlier, of about 19%. The next, which implies a deterioration in the quality of our risk assets. However, this followed the CBN NDIC special examination last year, which gave CBN provisioning recommendations and which was applied to all the banks. Our coverage ratio, as you saw in slide 26, appears low due to the fact that a large portion of our NPL was in the substandard category, and this category was secured, well secured, and generating cash flow. Indeed, some of those assets found in that category have been declassified in the first quarter of 2010. In the next slide, which is 27, we are taking additional steps to strengthen our credit risk management process. And we have now applied international standards to measure and manage our loan portfolio. We have also established the PDS, which is probability of default rate, against our risk ratings, as found in the third column of that slide, and the expected loan loss rate, as reflected in the fourth column, assuming an exposure at default rate of the current of 50% of the current loan amount. Following from this, we found out that impairment required without adjustment for collateral is 52 billion naira. While impairment required net of collateral came down to 22.4 billion, which implied that our existing provision of 25 billion as of December 2009 exceeds this amount.
All right, thank you, Ali. I will take us through the Q1 the financial performance review on slide 29. Essentially, what you find here is the quarter and quarter for group and bank. Essentially, looking at the earnings, gross earnings, you see a 4% growth in gross earnings, and go straight down, you see a 20% growth in PBT. I will explain that shortly. If you look at the interest and discount side, you see a 40% drop. I mean, largely, I said that the loan book didn't grow, even though we margins were better through management of cost of funds. We still did not, because of the lack of the growth in the loan book, the interest and discount income was down by 40%. However, other income was up by 40%, largely on the very strong revenue contribution from our government security trading desk. Operating expenses, about 4% growth, and the provision for risk assets, dropped by about 75%, and therefore what we find is that the PBT level, the group was at 5.2, vis-a-vis about 4.4, that was in the same period last year, and 20% change in PBT. I'll go to the next slide, which is by tech, which is essentially also trying to break down this performance by SBU. National Banking Group still in terms of comparative with the same period, was shot by drop about 3%. Commercial banking managed to just grow at 4%, while investment banking, on the back of what I've mentioned earlier, done the 176% growth. Retail banking, continued to work stronger on the face of the market share position that we have in that space. Grew by 86%. All right, I'll go to slide 31, essentially, which gives us a trend analysis of the operating income of fees and commission. Now, if you look on the right side of this slide, where you have the breakup of the operating income, now, if you notice that at the end of December, it was 66, it's down to 45, largely on the back of commission and fees growing, 26%, from what I mentioned about the government securities trading, at least in the quarter that we are reported. I will go to slide the next slide, slide 32, essentially also contribution of earnings by subsidiaries. What you find here is that as opposed to what was shown in December, you see that a lot more countries are beginning to pull their weight, and the deep group made more profit than the bank. And if you look at all the loss-making countries out there, so you have just about three or four, loss-making as opposed to eight that are. So like I said, all the cost management initiatives and all the one bank intelligence that we are pushing across the subsidiaries is beginning to yield fruit, and we believe that we'll take this into the end of the financial year. I'll go straight to the balance sheet. Essentially, the balance sheet, quarter on quarter, also is the same story as mentioned in March and December. We still haven't begin to, in terms of loan growth, begin to put the loan book, even though deposit is growing. But the real challenge is the ability for us to be able to grow the loan book to the good quality names that we grow our loan book to. I'll go to slide 34. Essentially, this is a breakup of the loan book by industry, oil and gas, if you look at the last time, going from about 19% to 21%, I continue to push again this industry, which is a critical industry for us. Telecoms are 16%. And so we still have a well-diversified in the not concentrated industry, and also on the product side, relatively you have a mix with long tenor the product and short tenor product to achieve the proper mix balance. In terms of funding and liquidity, just like I mentioned, the retail book continues to grow. We have a lot of initiatives in this space, and we are beginning to see, as of December, it was about 30% of our total. Now it's up, so over a period of 2 quarters, with this particular space of the business has grown by about 5%. It's a major growth area for us. In terms of deposit mix, largely unchanged, given what the business that we are value to strategy. All right, I'll ask my colleague again to just round up with talk about the asset quality of the fourth quarter.
As we mentioned earlier, we are using our international standards to rate our risk assets. And you can see in that slide, that 7, in the first quarter of 2010, the performance of a large non-performing exposure has quite improved significantly to warrant the declaration of some of them. However, it should be noted that we opted not to release the provisions back to PGL to be on the very prudent side during the quarter. And instead of that, we have indeed taken a more prudent way of making provisions of about 1 billion naira every quarter up to March. So you can see that our impairment required without collateral was 41.2 billion, while the collateral value is now 50 billion, and the impairment required net of collateral is now 17.8, which is a significant improvement over the December figure. And we hope to do better in the quarters ahead.
Thank you, Aliu. You would have noticed that from the militaristic presentation that Aliu was a former regulator. Aliu cut his teeth in the NDIC. We are making provisions of 1 billion per month. I think the net provision for the period was just under 3 billion. On slide 31, I would like to conclude by speaking to some of our ongoing strategic initiatives. The first is operating efficiency and cost income, and I have read a number of analyst comments around the area of the fact that Access Bank, whose cost to income ratio traditionally has led the banking industry in Nigeria, seems to have suffered a deterioration in cost to income over the period. For those who are, who do deep dives, you'll find out that obviously at the bank level, that is not the case. And that the real distortion has come from the group level. And simply put, the spike that you can see from 53% in March 2009 to 66% as at December 2009 is due simply to the fact that we are now taking, in that year, we took the full effect of the cost base of our subsidiaries, who at the time, and still are, but a much significant improvement in this quarter, as you find, were at the low point of their earnings trajectory. That's a simple reason. Beyond this, there are so many initiatives that are ongoing, to manage our costs. We have actually over 100 cost management initiatives. One of the most interesting ones for us, for example, is that by ordering plane tickets in advance, which we do not just in Nigeria but across all our subsidiaries, we actually find that our local and international travel costs have reduced by 50%. There are several others. Now, you would understand that I will speak about these initiatives and all our ongoing strategic initiatives with brevity for obvious strategic reasons. Jay talked to the fact that we now have our group shared services kicking in. The entirety of the group actually is beginning to be managed from a resource management standpoint. It's beginning to be managed from one office in Lagos, and you can imagine the economies we get from that. We've gone to NEA reduction targets, non-earning asset reduction targets set, and we've assigned our responsibility across the group, for managing those. And we have daily performance dashboards, fully automated, that, you know, brings the performance in the financial sense of everything down to my table or any other person's table who wants to look at them, you know, on a daily, real, almost real-time basis. In terms of cost of risk, I mean, this is fundamental to the Nigerian banking industry. And unless you are extremely reckless or extremely naive, any bank that is not focusing on this line, you know, will have nasty surprises. You know, I will continue to do so. You know, we continue to strengthen our risk management framework. You know, our CRECO credit committee, our ALCO ops risk committee, enterprise risk management committee dominate our business decisions like never before. We continue to remediate, you know, our existing NPL. Aliu spoke to the fact that a major substandard loan, you know, based on cash flows and strengthening of security, you know, we had the confidence to declassify, even though we still maintain we did not release the provisions to date, and this declassification also has the concurrence of CBN. We are ongoing in our implementations of Basel II and IFRS projects. We are way ahead of the banking industry. I don't think of any bank in Nigeria that is near us in this respect. We have a significantly reduced exposure to equity risk. Some analysts actually were a bit spot on in terms of their projection as to the fact that we're going to break even at the group level for the financial year. And they wonder why, you know, at the group level, we, you know, beyond the negative contribution of our subsidiaries, we ended up with this, what was, even if I adjust for some tax issues, if I adjust for that, you know, why we made 3 billion loss. And simply put, you know, there is an underwriting we did with respect to a certain public offer. And as of September, at the end of September 2009, our provisions in that regard were 1 billion naira based on the contracts that we had entered into for that offer. But, you know, there are some unfortunate developments, as I can put it. And we went into an arbitration, which we never believed we would lose. The arbitration was ruled against us and basically meant that the writing commitment, you know, was increased, and we ended up with an additional provision of 3 billion. That explains it, really. Now, we also have a daily risk dashboard where we've had that. Capital adequacy stress testing, capital raising contingency frameworks in place, and continued strengthening of our risk management capacity. Now, on the what is this, an ultimate slide, we talk about cost of funds reduction. And here again also, I mean, I've seen when we released our first quarter, and, you know, people heard about a 400 basis point reduction in our cost of funds. I've seen various analysis as to trying to explain why. Some people think we purchase deposits at the end of the year and then we return them and so on. No, it's not. Simply put, I mean, we've always prided ourselves on our superior market and economic intelligence. Our forecasting abilities are very strong. For those who receive our weekly or monthly or annual forecast and so on, you would know that typically I think we get things right. Nigeria's banking sector is a deposit-driven one, and you know that's why you know that seems to be where Nigerian banks, you know, have grown on the back of deposits, and then you lend your deposits. And insofar as you have outlets to offload these deposits, you know, you find that the rate regime tends to trend upwards until there's an asset shock, and then they trend downwards. That's been the boom and bust cycle in our market. And we projected really that lending would cease. And we projected this, I think, in September when we started to notice negative growth rates in the lending in the Nigerian banking industry. I think we were the first to actually highlight it. And so our position simply was this, that the demand and supply relationship for money, deposits, would change. And we took the position that deposits would have to trend downwards in cost. Some people say that we forced the market down. I think we're not big enough to do that. But our actions definitely signaled the beginning of a downward review of deposits. Because we acted faster than the rest of the market in terms of dropping our rates and so on, we got the greatest benefit. Most importantly, we could trend our deposits downwards in a very structured sense. And we now believe that given our funds transfer pricing model, we can ensure that our message at the time we sent it in January permeated our whole system, it gave us the opportunity to fundamentally restructure our deposits across the group. And we believe that we can average a cost of funds of sub 5% from about 10%, you know, the prior year, which is significant, you know, on a balance sheet of about, and an earning balance sheet in excess of 600 billion naira. In terms of market share acquisition, we are looking at our inorganic growth opportunities. We have positioned the bank at the center of the CBN's efforts to transmit funds towards the real sector, and you know, we believe that there are a number of mandates we should pick up in that regard. We have, at the beginning of the year, and we'll continue to deploy market initiatives to differentiate Access Bank from other mid-sized operators. Our asset growth is now cranking up. You tend not to see it in the first quarter, and this is because we're going to our traditional cycle of trade finance-led growth. So the letters of credit volumes are increasing quite aggressively, and I think in this quarter, as we begin to, as you see, when you see the foreign exchange demands, as we begin to buy foreign exchange on behalf of our clients, it translates into Naira loans on the balance sheet. Our card and e-banking strategies are paying off, and we will continue to, you know, implement, you know, our one bank strategy quite assiduously. Without the doubt, you know, 2009 was a tumultuous year, and we took our fair share of shocks. We've learned, you know, a lot of lessons from that, but I think we take a lot of pride in the fact that we've emerged, you know, with extremely strong fundamentals and in a very, very strategic and, you know, vantage position to be the mid-sized bank that joins the large bank. At this point, you know, I'd like to thank you very much for listening and invite, you know, questions which we will answer. We will take questions in batches of about six, and then, you know, we'll respond to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Can I call on Sarah to...
Thank you, sir. The Q&A session will be conducted electronically. If you'd like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll now move to our first question from Bunmi Asulu from CSL. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my questions and for the detail you've gone into on your slides. I have three questions. The first question, as Shay said, you recovered 14 billion in 2009, the highest of any bank that has reported so far. But I'm just wondering, why didn't you hint as of October 2009 that the subsidiaries that you were going to consolidate for the first time as of December were going to be a drag on your earnings? Second question, I see your NPL ratio and coverage ratio had improved substantially as of the end of March 2010. Should I assume that you didn't recover anything in Q1? I think you hinted to this a few minutes ago, but what level of success do you think you're going to see in 2010 on recoveries following a very strong recovery figure in 2009? And then my final question, could you give us some color on how much growth we're likely to see in your loan book this year, and comment on what's driving what appears to be a weak Q2 forecast that came out of the NSE last week, showing a PBT of 2.9 billion and a gross earning figure of 22.2 billion. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question, which comes from Soji Salanka from Fativa Capital. Please go ahead.
Okay, good afternoon there. This is speaking. I just have a few questions I would like your response to. Firstly, you had about 55 billion thereabouts in substandard loans ASAP FY. I'd just like you to explain why ASAP end of Q1, okay, we just have a 4 billion additional provisioning figure for the Q1 numbers. And because you didn't have that time policy and all of that, is it that there's been some restructuring or another thing I've seen from your presentation is IFRS? Is that you've taken into consideration collateral value in terms of the determined level of provisioning you made? Okay, secondly, what's your ROE target for 2010? Okay, and finally, your capital raising plan, can you just shed more detail on that? Thank you very much. I'm done.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Kato Makuru from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, gentlemen. First question is on the investment banking profits in Q1. I mean, those are very, very strong. Just could you give us more detail on how you generated those profits and whether there are hedges in place? Because I gather you're probably betting on lower yield environment. Whether there are any hedges in place in case that turns on us. With regards to your NPLs, how much could you have written in Q1 back on the result of the NPL drop to 8%? And I just wanted to confirm that 8% figure is in Nigerian GAAP, and it's not an IFRS figure. On provisions, you mentioned that you're providing 1 billion a month, yet your quarterly provision looks to be 1 billion, if I'm correct. Could you just explain that? Last question is on loan growth for 2010. What's your outlook? Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Christopher Hartland-Peel from Exotics. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'd like to make an observation here. Over this cycle, if you take the 12 months to March 2009, when you made 21 billion naira, there was a loss of 4.2 billion in the 9 months to December, which means over the 21 months, Access Bank, in my view, has done well. It's made 16.8 billion. Over the 21-month period, which is equivalent to approximately $110 million. March 2010 has been profitable with 4 billion naira. So going forward, 2010 is going to be a good year for you, and I wonder if you could give some, I'd like to hear your thoughts as to how it's going to be developing and what your thoughts are on return on equity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question in today's question and session, please press star 1. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We'll now move to our next question from Oluseni Arami from ProShare. Please go ahead.
Well, this looks quite an impressive result in itself. A few questions of mine would relate to the return on equity, which had been asked by most analysts. But of more concern to me is wondering what really happened to the bank during the period, the tumultuous period of the post-intervention by the central bank. It seems to me that your Q4 meant that there were certain decisions going on in organizations which were not so clear to us, which impacted on the result, especially in the treatment of loan provisioning. I'd just like to know what were those things and what are the things we should be expecting this year as well. Thank you.
We'll now move to our next question from Daniel Kanesha from Standard Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'd just like you to please give your views on the asset management company and if it gets set up, what it could do to the central bank guarantee that's currently in place on all placements to banks in Nigeria.
Thank you. I think we should take the answers now. Why don't you take the CSL sheet?
All right. You asked about NPL ratio and COVID ratios. Now, in terms of NPL ratios and COVID ratios, if you look at what happened in March, NPL ratio dropped to 9% group and about 96% COVID ratio. Clearly, just like I've mentioned in, when it was closing, the classification that we did, you know, was very well done in terms of looking at the accounts, ensuring that, in fact, just like I said, he had the backing of the CPM force to classify the account. So we believe that our coverage ratio is not going to worsen. It's going to get better because of the reserve that we are creating, you know, for any such shocks. You also asked about recovery. In terms of recovery for this financial year, if you look at the provisions that we made, included in that figure of 30.9 billion was about 8 billion of margin. You know, so if you take out 8 billion from 30, you are left with 22, of which we've taken out, you know, 14. So the what is out there to be recovered is 8 billion. You know, unless the stock market improves, then you don't have the right back. So the potential there is just about 8 billion in terms of recovery. In terms of, you asked about loan growth, our plan for this year is to grow our loan book to about 16%, you know, by the end of the year. You know, I'm just like I said, we started that process with respect to our trade cycles, you know, and then you begin to see this impact on our balance sheet, on our loan book, by the end of the second quarter when we'll be presenting and figures to you.
Why don't you take the second question? The second question was from Betiva. It's, okay, 55 billion of standard loans, why 4 billion? 55 billion for standard loans, why 4 billion? Why 4 billion in provisions against 55 billion of substandard loans, I think. And this, what you're asking basically is that why wasn't the loans classified substandard deteriorating? I think that for those listeners who have participated in our conference calls, and I dare say for several other bank conference calls, we do know that there was this whole issue around the issue of subjective provisioning as opposed to time-based prudential guidelines provisioning. This particular MPL was not, from a Nigerian GAAP perspective, did not require provisioning, but from a subjective perspective, given exposures of this obligor in other banks and so on, the central bank examiners at the time, you know, in September, you know, felt that it should be provided. Since then, you know, you will note that the central bank itself has come out with the prudential guidelines for specialized assets. And also, you will note something, that the central bank is migrating our provisioning policies more towards international practices and less towards the traditional time-based perspective. And in this context, you know, when we have denoted that following international IFRS requirements, I mean, this facility does not require provisioning at all, you know, based on its based on the test for impairment that we conducted around it. We felt, and we don't have any objection from the regulator that, you know, it should be put on watch list. But as a prudent measure, we have not released the provision. So it's not a restructuring issue. It's just simply that I guess we are now in a much more stable environment, and therefore the extremely stringent provision that was taken based on a very conservative position, you know, is not required in this operating context. In terms of our capital raising plans, you must have seen in our AGM notice a special resolution notice around the capital raising issue. We still feel that you know, we need to, you know, roll over our existing long term bond, which is sailing off this year, and basically raise, you know, additional long term, you know, debt. And so this, you should view that along those lines. In terms of an ROE target, there was this big question around our forecast. I don't think Shei, did you speak to it too long?
Yeah.
And the reason for this is simply that we have to be extremely conservative with this forecast. And this is a new practice that has just started. And until we fully calibrate our forecasting models in such a way that you know, we can basically have them audited by our auditors or a third party or reporting accountant, you know, we will be conservative in that regard. So I think you should take our ROE target in the context of the forecast that we sent out. You came to add a question around investment banking profits. I think Herbert will take that.
Well, year on year, we've always received questions as to the sustainability of income coming out of our investment banking business. And I think each time we've proven that we have a very clear understanding of that business, at least as far as fixed income or foreign exchange type business is concerned. Now, so let me just put it this way. We've continued to make a lot of money coming out of our fixed income business. The governance framework supporting our fixed income, our entire treasury business is extremely robust and rigorous. So things that have to do with, you know, our stock loss limits, our profit-taking limits, etc., coming out of a very strong economic analysis based on what we see as the liquidity of the market, the business period, etc., determine what type of positions we take at any particular point in time. As to whether we have perfect hedges, not really in this market, okay, but basically whatever positions we take are based on very clear analytics as to where the market is going. So far, touch wood, we've not had issues because we tend to understand the market and we have a very, very strong team of economists that perpetually read the market and try to understand in what direction, you know, the market fundamentals appear to be going. Now, there were also questions around, you know, the provisions that we have. Okay, now, of course, there are issues that surround Nigerian GAAP versus IFRS. You know, currently, IFRS requires that, you know, you don't take provisions and that we basically write back the kind of provisions we've been taking. Now, what we've been doing, basically, is to consistently review our loan portfolio and follow what we refer to as simply a pretty conservative approach of making sure that whatever it is, we can leave sufficient buffer to make sure that, you know, come end of the year, if there are issues, at least we're able to take care of whatever loan loss provisions or loan losses that may arise. And so what you tend to see is that coming out of the various analysis as you have seen from the presentations, we tend to pretty much, you know, assume that one case, if we made arrangements for about ₦1 billion in terms of off-record provisions, if you like, you know, that at the end of the year we should be able to be okay. So we expect not more than ₦11 billion in terms of additional NPL by year end, as you have seen from the presentation, which Shea has just shared with us.
The issue of write-backs on NPLs, right? There are no write-backs. So the figure that Herbert has given you is a net figure. I mean, we have no write-backs. We are not writing back in any NPLs back into our P&L. So the provisions you are seeing, the ₦11 billion in provision or the ₦11-12 billion you are seeing is not diluted by any NPL write-backs.
There are, like the journey as you mentioned, a couple of initiatives have come around our risk management framework, and the initiatives that are carried out on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and on a quarterly basis to ensure that we basically push up the quality of our risk asset portfolio. Hopefully, at the end of this financial year, we should see significant improvement in terms of our NPL to total loans ratio, and therefore, you know, our cost of risk coming back to the kind of level that we expect to get a much better risk rating.
Thanks, Herbert. There was a question on loan growth, which I'll come to, you know, I'll answer that question. The gentleman from Standard Bank asked a question from the AMC perspective, and the CDI guarantee. Emmanuel, maybe you want to speak to that.
Yes, on the AMC, the Asset Management Company of Nigeria, it is going through the National Assembly. It's actually reached the final reading. And as soon as it is passed into law, what that simply means is that banks will be required to sell their toxic assets, you know, to the Central Bank of Nigeria. And basically, the asset management of Company of Nigeria is owned by the Central Bank, Ministry of Finance, and also the Nigerian Deposit Insurance Corporation. But essentially, it's a way of actually freeing banks of these toxic assets. The only thorny issue, really, is the pricing of those assets. And I understand very clearly that the Central Bank is already working on a model as to how to actually price those assets. As soon as that is sorted out, then, of course, it's going to free the banks of those toxic assets. The CBN guarantee. There are circulars which have been issued both in terms of guarantees for lending to the small and medium-scale enterprises.
I think we sent
okay.
I think our position is that the CBN will maintain the guarantee until the affected banks have been resolved one way or the other. And I think the guarantee will not, this is our thinking, I don't think that it will remove the guarantee for healthy banks and keep it for affected banks. We think they will keep it for the entire industry. The AFC is a tool of recapitalization, I think, which we all know, essentially, and that will assist the industry, tremendously. Chris had this point, which we actually chose not to put in our presentation. And the reason why we chose not to do so is the fact that we don't like to introduce the earnings or the results or performance of other, compare our performance to that of other institutions in our presentation. We just think, it leads to too much aggro. But the reality is that, as Chris pointed out, we had a 9-month audited performance year-to-date December 2009. A number of other institutions range from 15, 18 months and so on. And if we had the opportunity to basically do what other institutions had done and ran our financials for a 21-month period, as Chris pointed out, we made 16 billion PBT basically over that period, if you want to compare apples with apples. Which is why, when Emmanuel put his slide up and put us as ranking number 5 of all Nigerian banks, if you look at it fundamentally and strategically and you compare apples with apples, it will be clear to anybody that over a comparative period, give or take 3 months, we were probably the fourth most profitable bank in Nigeria. Now, is it going to be another good year, so to speak, for Access Bank? I think we've had a good and decent first 3 months, and if you compare that to the results of other banks, I think that will put us at number 3 or so, which isn't bad, 3 or 4. There are a number of imponderables over the year that are external, but we don't see the external shocks as coming from within the financial services sector itself. There are a number of political issues that we tend to look at. But we know that it's going to be a much better year than last year, I can tell you that much. The gentleman from ProShare asked some questions about, basically what it was like to be in Access Bank during the CBN examination, this tumultuous period. Just like most other people in the banking industry, it was a rough period. I think that we, just that uncertainty and rumor mill, and the distraction that comes, between July when this process started and October when it was over for us, was a serious distraction. And we spent a lot of time, reassuring customers, reassuring stakeholders, staff, people, and so on. And it was a serious distraction from, the day-to-day core business. And what we then did, in the third quarter, the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth month, was just focus on basically repairing, the damage that had been done to our loan book, which leads on to something that I have to talk about. When you look at our loan book and you look at our loan growth, and you see that our loan growth was negative, essentially what we did was that we exited from September up till, up till March. We exited sectors that we had concerns around, either sectors that we are taking a bath on based on the CBN provisioning regime, or sectors that we had noticed, as we began to do much and more and more stress tests that could be throwing up problems. And I think that is what gives us the confidence that even where our coverage ratios are today, we are in a very comfortable place. The reason why we don't anticipate surprises the type of surprises that you are beginning to see in other banks. It's simply because, you know, we've done a lot more stress testing of our portfolio, and we feel that, I mean, if you follow international best practices, where our provisions are is where our provisions should be. We are taking an even more conservative position and taking the decision to, you know, make provisions of an additional 1 billion naira a month. This is at the gross level. What we report on our books, what you see is the net provision after recovery. So we're actually providing 1 billion a month. And the recoveries you see are cash recoveries. There is no restructured recovery. We don't do that in Access Bank. So now let's go to 5 more questions.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Dimna Shah from Pine Bridge Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for a great presentation. Maybe if you could just take us a bit more through your strategy across Africa, which countries you see being contributing the most to your growth going forward, and maybe some of the challenges you might be facing in some of these countries. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Ntebrisi Abika from Stanbic IBTC Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the presentation. You mentioned a particular provision you had to make as a result of some underwriting you did. I believe you're referring to AP. Maybe you could shed more light on that particular transaction. And I didn't get exactly how much provision exactly you said you made. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move to our next question, which comes from Awaya Oni from Stanbic IBTC Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation. Yes, I also have 2 questions. One, I want to know what your capital adequacy ratio target is for this year and next year, and what level you think is comfortable to be at. And then I also want to know your NPL target for this year and also for next year as well. Thank you.
Thank you. We now move to our next question, which comes from Thomas Nielsen from Bank Invest. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen, and congratulations on the results, and thank you for the presentation. Just a question on your loan growth of the 15% target for this year. Do you plan this, have you set this target to be aggressive, you think, in the industry, or conservative? And then if you just could also bring some color to what segments are you especially focusing on lending to? Where do you think, what sectors, what industries, what segments, retail, corporates, do you think offers the best combination of return, NIMS, and on the other side, risk and cost of risk? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question in today's question and answer session, please press star 1. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Now move to our next question, which comes from Kingsley Agbe from Chapel Denham. Please go ahead.
So I just want a clarification on your NPLs. Your NPLs improved from 19% to 9%. Could you please shed some light on the sectors where you made recovery? And then 2, can you tell us your expectations in terms of your net interest margin going forward? Thank you.
Okay, I think we can answer these questions. Herbert, will take the first one, please.
Right. As far as our strategy across Africa is concerned, I think really we've come to the end of the first phase of our growth across Africa. And all we're going to be doing over the next couple of years, year or years to come, would be to embed our one bank strategy, all right, to make sure that our customers that we're chasing across the continent, that we basically get them to bank with our subsidiary, would also be to ensure we have operational efficiency of all the subsidiaries, particularly those that were acquired, would be to ensure we also have one culture running across all countries in which we're physically present. Now, as she mentioned in this presentation, we had a significant drawback specifically coming out of Ivory Coast, where there is a significant difference as far as the legal framework for recovery is concerned between Francophone and Anglophone. There are also issues of culture, particularly coming out of integration of a franchise that was acquired. However, that franchise is now breaking even, and most of the countries in which we have a presence have started to break even. Indeed, what we have is 6 out of the 9 countries are now breaking even and beginning to contribute a little bit to profit. Like we have always said, it takes about 3 years for most banks, you know, if you take a bank to start up, it takes about 3 years under normal circumstances for them to break even and start to make money. You know, we expect that in this year we should see an increasing contribution from this bank. But we're not in a big rush to keep rolling out. The idea is to ensure that we digest the existing franchises. We basically make sure that we have them running properly and that we have one culture coming, you know, through all the subsidiaries. The bank in the UK, you know, is one that we're also extremely happy with, even though they're not yesterday making money as such. But in terms of the support to the group, in terms of the increasing trade business, which they do with all the subsidiaries, reflects the fact that they will soon start to make profits, because indeed they've already started breaking even and are pretty sure it's going to start increasing in their balance sheet. But you must also put it in the context of an environment where interest rates or lending rates are about 1% in the UK, you know, and therefore they need to increase their volume so much more for them to make money, but they're already breaking even. But one thing we would also continue to assure our investors is the fact that we will continue to review the performance of each and every subsidiary to ensure that they fall in line with our corporate strategy in terms of our return on equity, because that is the reason we are present there. And at any particular point in time, if we are not happy with any of them, we will not be shy to take whatever difficult decisions that we intend to take. But so far, we think that there is increasing contribution coming from most of them, and 6 out of the 9 subsidiaries are still making money and contributing to profit. Thank you.
Thank you, Herbert. Like, could you take the one on AP?
Okay. I'm just going to be very brief about it. We had an underwriting commitment of about 1.2 billion naira, as far as we understand it. But however, because of some issues, the underwriting commitment was adjusted to have been 8 billion naira by the Court of Arbitration, which 4.8 billion naira by the Court of Arbitration, which we took the case to. And as you know, that during the last year, there was a very significant drop in asset values in terms of equities, and therefore we had to take a write down of about 90% of the value of these assets, and that is why we have that level of provisioning. We have taken the provisioning in full, and then we'll move on. But we will not be able to disclose anything further because of confidentiality reasons.
Right, thanks. The gentleman from Stanbic, one of the three, asked two questions around the issues of capital adequacy, ratio targets, and are we comfortable with our, you know, capital adequacy and our NPL targets. It is good risk management practice to have a capital adequacy target, and I'll talk to that. It's not good risk management practice to have an NPL target, because it tends to make an institution, you know, work back to the answer in terms of obscuring that figure. So, I'll talk to you in terms of how we look at our loan book and how we try to maintain the quality in our loan. Now, we feel that Nigeria is going to move towards a more ICAP-driven, you know, internal capital adequacy assessment process, as opposed to this Basel 1 capital adequacy weighted assets to capital, you know, adequacy approach. But if you even use the traditional approach, experientially now it appears that, you know, the minimum adequacy level for a Nigerian bank seems to be around 20%. At the group level, we are over 30. At the bank level, we are just under 30. And therefore, of course, we have to be well above 20 to start with. But in terms of our ICAAP, which relates, you know, our risk and our business model, you know, to the capital that we carry and to determine whether we are carrying surplus levels of capital, we have determined that we are carrying, in certain respects, surplus levels of capital. It does give us a lot of headroom to do some interesting things around the inorganic space. And we are quite comfortable with our capital levels. I mean, I think we are one of the most strongly capitalized banks, particularly on a straight line basis. I think we'll be number 5 or number 4. And on an adjusted basis, definitely we're top 4, right? Well, I mean, aside from obviously the niche banks. In terms of our NPL target, we don't look at things from an NPL target perspective. What we're looking at is what percentage of our loans should fall into the risk rating 3 and above perspective, and we have a certain target. We have not set for ourselves a one-year target. We actually set ourselves a 2 to 3 year target, and the whole idea is that 90% or more of our loans will be investment grade and above, which is, you know, risk rating 3 and above basis. Now, Shay, you have some questions around loan growth.
Yeah, in terms of loan growth, we wanted to know where this
15% target,
where is it going to come from? I mean, a couple of segments. We're looking at the Asian corporate. I'm sure that's well known. We are looking at the downstream oil and gas, as well as multinational, essentially taking market share, you know, from the affected banks. And given that we are looking at, we look at loan growth on a group perspective, we see our trade finance business in the UK growing very strongly. Today, it's come from a loss of $1 billion to a break-even position on the back of trade finance that's been done in the UK today. So this is where, you know, this loan growth of 50% is going to come from.
Thanks. There was a question about NPLs improve. Which sector did it come?
Yes. Essentially, this improvement in NPL from 19% to 9% that you asked came from the classification from the telecoms sector. You say it was a single exposure.
Thank you, Shri. So let's have the final set of questions, please.
Thank you, sir. We'll now move to our next question from Thabo Nkano from Standard. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks so much, I guess, for always, Shay, Herbert, everyone, for making time to check with us, as always. I just want to ask just a few questions. I think some of them might have been covered, but please do forgive me because we've been getting a couple of breaks on our transmission. But I guess the first thing around the loan book growth, if you could just perhaps reiterate in terms of what number you're looking for this remaining year, for perhaps Q1 all the way to Q4, 2010 to December, in terms of what loan growth figures you're sort of looking for. And perhaps if you could elaborate a bit more in terms of which sectors you'd sort of be looking more to fund, given obviously what's happening in Nigeria around the elections this year and perhaps some of the infrastructure spend you might see just before elections. Just a second question, just on the trade finance side. If you could just give us a bit of an idea of, on the trade finance side, in terms of which companies exactly you're banking, because the one thing we found is when we chat to a lot of the banking, bankers in the banking community in Nigeria, everyone seems to bank the larger corporates. You know, everyone seems to bank MTN and everyone else. If you could just give us a bit of an idea in terms of trade finance, who exactly you're looking for, and in terms of sort of the average loan book size, the trade finance book, or sort of the average loan size you'd be giving the customer. And just on the liability side, if you could just indicate that, or the third question on the deposit side, what sort of liability growth you're looking at on the deposit side, obviously, in terms of just how you're looking to attract those deposits, given the branch network and how sticky those deposits are. And finally, just on the Tier 2 capital, if there was anything you're looking to do around Tier 2 capital debt, any long-term capital you're looking to do, given, obviously, the change in legislation in the tax code in Nigeria. Thanks, gentlemen, as always, and I look forward to the answer. Thanks.
Thank you. Now move to our next question from Thurston Goliath from Renaissance Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for the presentation. Just one question. In terms of your liquidity, can you maybe just give me an indication how much of your liquid assets, percentage-wise or in Naira, are actually in the interbank or placed on the interbank market. That's it.
It appears we have no further questions at this time, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll take that as the last two questions. The gentleman from Renaissance Asset Management wanted to know basically how much of our liquidity is placed in the bank. Very little. I would say, right now, 10%, 10 billion naira or thereabouts, in terms of total placements in the bank. So, I guess we can work the percentages back therefrom. In terms of the Stanley questions from Tamu, if we begin, I think we're going to start another conference call. But this is a good opportunity for me to also inform our investors and analysts of our usual roadshow that follows, the full year presentation. We will be in London. We will be in Joburg, Cape Town. We may be in the U.S. And this is going to take place over the next 4 weeks. Definitely, Stanley, we look forward to seeing you in Cape Town or you're in Joburg. Oh. Well, anyway, we're in Joburg and Cape Town. We love the presentations in Cape Town. And we'd just like to appreciate you all for participating in this call. We also feel that we also have to express, appreciation for all your support in the tumultuous events of 2009. We thank you indeed. We continue confident in the strength of the fundamentals of the bank, and that by an accident of fortune, our bank has been propelled, basically into the league of overnight into the league of the top 5 banks in this country. Thank you very much, and see you on the roadshow if you participate. And if not, see you, in 3 months' time at our next quarterly presentation. Best of luck.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.